is the Schaefer Baseball Report, an inside look at America's pastime. From Little League all the way to the big leagues. Now here's your hosts, former Major League infielder Jeff Schaefer and Tommy the V. Viola.
All right, well, welcome everybody to the Schaefer Baseball Report, number 28. And we are in the windstorm, aren't we? Right here. As we're sitting here, the doors are flying open here in North Carolina. And but we're not going to lock it. We're gonna be adventurous and see what happens. And so number 28, Andrew, and my pick this week is Sparky Lyle.
I got Buster Posey.
I took my guy, Buster Posey.
So we got two Buster Poseys and one Sparky Lyle. That's that's doubling down on the Buster Posey stuff. So another good week. Another good week. We're sitting actually in Hurricane Florence. We're getting ready. It hasn't gotten here to Charlotte yet. I think we're just going to get winds and rain.
A lot of rain.
A lot of rain and a lot of wind. The wind's kicking up already. Obviously, it just kind of blew our front door open. And so everybody's kind of gearing down. There's nothing left in the supermarkets. We're empty. We're drained. You're buying the worst of the worst. So I guess that's a good thing you're in distribution, Ray, and in sales. So if somebody's got a product that just doesn't sell, and then everybody buys up all the good stuff, and you go in on the last day, guess what you're buying?
That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
Man. So they up their sales numbers. So I guess maybe every year they're wishing for one hurricane a year to
well, at least the ABC stores stay open, right?
Well, you should be stocked. You shouldn't be you shouldn't have to worry about running to the ABC store. If your cabinet isn't stocked, you're not a pro. Okay, at all.
I'm not.
At all. So. But yeah, past weekend we jumped out with our teams, and I there's so many good things that go on in the game, but it's you can clean it up with identifying what's not good, and the tournaments that are being put on by the organizations that are putting them on, the reasons are wrong, in my opinion, they don't work for us all the time, and the biggest reason is how many teams can you put in an event, and how much money can you make. And that's what ends up happening. And you don't know what you're going to get or where you're going to play. So we travel to – well, we sign up for a tournament. And the tournament says, okay, you can play at Belmont Abbey, Wingate, and Pfeiffer. Mm-hmm. Okay? Okay, which is all within, 35, 40 minutes of everything we're doing. So my families can go out to the facilities, watch a couple games, come home that night, sleep in their own bed, not travel too far, eat their own food. And then get up the next morning and go somewhere else local. So you're looking for local tournaments in the fall. One of the reasons primarily is because, kids have school on Monday. It's not like it's the summer and you can go 4 hours away and then, drive all Sunday night and not worry about Monday morning the next day. So we end up going to East Rutherford for two games. And then we end up going to Pfeiffer, which is about an hour and 20 minutes away the next day. Which, for me, it didn't completely affect us because Charlotte was in between both. So I was taking off, coming back. I was home, and then I would take off and in the other direction. For a lot of these teams that traveled from the coast or different parts of the state, they were traveling an hour and a half in between games.
Wow.
So, here we go. You try to manage finances for some of the families because it is an expensive thing. We talk about it all the time. And you don't have control of it. There isn't nothing necessarily about it. You don't have control of it. These people do. And what they're trying to do is capture as many teams and as much money as they possibly can. And that's the name of the game. Instead of putting on quality events, bringing in quality teams, you get jammed up. I mean, you've been down this road, Ray, several times with Ray Jr. in different places, and especially in the perfect game environment.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, especially like you just said, when you got families traveling from so far, you don't know where to book your hotels because you want to book a hotel that's centrally located to the fields that you could get to and back and forth without driving an hour and a half. And when you get a game that's an hour and a half, 2 hours away, then to drive back to your hotel to play another game tomorrow, an hour and a half away, it's cost effective. I mean, it's not cost effective, and you're just spending a ton of money on a weekend to play a few games where, at the end of the day, it's supposed to be to have these kids get better and, have an enjoyable weekend with the family to play some baseball, but now it's becoming a burden to play baseball.
Yeah, I'm not always bent out of shape about the fact that there aren't college recruiters there because it makes their job tough.
Yeah, of course.
Because all these tournaments are spread out all over the place. Then you put out a schedule and you find out that, you know, a team that you do want to see is an hour and a half away from the other team that you want to see. So you're not centrally located. That's why, to a degree, you know, if you go down, if you take the older kids down to Perfect Game, if they just played all the games on the site, it would be perfect. That's what we try to do up in Virginia at the Virginia Sports Complex. We try to keep everybody on one facility as best we can. We do our best in class stuff, mm-hmm. and some of the other organizations at least the facility do the same thing, because it allows recruiters to come and hunker down for a full day or two or three and see as many players as they possibly can in one location. So it's not a good recruiting tool. You know, to just spread people out all over the place. We, you know, we see it all the time, you know, parents worrying about, you know, were they college coaches there, were they not college coaches there. And that part gets under my skin, because you got to play this game to get better.
That's right.
And you don't play this game to get better and worry about who's sitting in the stands watching me. You got to go out and do it. You know?
That's right. I mean, instead of worried about who's in the stands, you know, worry about if your kid is getting better. If your kid goes 4-4 every weekend, trust me, someone's going to hear that. And next weekend, the college coach will find him.
Yeah. I mean, if you have, you know, if you're in the right organization, and we bring this up all the time, you're in an organization, again, that's, you know, that's a whole nother show, which is organizations that just build on numbers and really don't care who the players are or what they're like. They're just wearing their uniform and they're paying up the ladder. You know, but for the recruiters out there, you know, you look at an organization and you go, you know, yeah, they work. They help the players go there. You know, and again, I'm proud of the fact that we only have one team per age group. It's not our money ticket. It's what we do to help the kids out and make sure the game is better and hopefully gain the respect of college recruiters that know that when we pick up the phone and call, we're calling about a kid that we know personally, we mm-hmm. know the family, we know the situation, we know the financial situation, we know, you know, just about everything that we need to know to have a legit conversation. Plus, you know, with our background, you know, we see players, you know, we've seen players at the highest levels. I mean, I told a college coach yesterday, man, I've been in the dugout on teams and competed against Hall of Famers. I know what it looks like at this level, and I know what certain things can project to. That's a tough part about what's going on, but you know, the tournament directors or the organizations that are running, everybody masks it. You know what I mean? The organization is running the tournament under a different name because they don't want people to know that, you know, everybody knows. You know, and they know that once – and they, you know, they try to capture data, try to capture names, try to capture email so they can go ahead and build that base. They are team volume, player volume driven.
Yep. It sure is. I mean, it's – again, it goes back to what we spoke about last week about it being a business. And – you know what, instead of, you know, instead of saying quality over quantity, I mean, if these tournaments just narrowed it down to 12 or 24 teams and, you know, had four fills and say, hey, we've taken the top teams that we think is going to compete and have a great tournament, you get more quality teams entering your tournaments week in and week out. And also the scouts or the college coaches know, hey, these guys run a top-notch tournament where they bring in quality teams where I could spend a day watching – 4 or 5 games and looking for some dudes instead of, well, I'm going to go, you know, drive around, search for a guy, just wait for the coach to call me and, you know, like you just said, you know, point out the guy and then I'll watch him.
Well, some of the top organizations won't play against the top organizations because everybody's afraid of people going to poach players. And that has just been that piece right there is it. And it's fact. It happens. I mean, there's organizations, the guy that his job is just to call players. You know, we've seen it, we've heard it, we've had guys ask our kids to play for them right on the field during the game.
Jeez.
I mean, pathetic, you know what I mean? Just, but again, a lot of this comes down to, and I will say this, and I will throw this dagger, is that most of the organizations that do that don't have the ability to really coach. They can't develop, they can't teach, so they got to go get the best possible talent that they can get at the highest level so it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything underneath that is just, it's just dollars. There's no face, there's no name, there's no family relationship, there's nothing involved with those guys other than has your check cleared.
Yeah, and also I'll take it even a step further. You want to talk about how good your organization is or how good your team is? Hey, start with the team that you – I mean, finish with the team you started with from day one. Hey, don't start calling in guys in midweek. If you start the tournament with 12 guys, finish with 12 guys. It's, you know, these organizations get into playoffs and they start bringing in 5-6 guys. And while the teams that travel to across the country has their same 15 guys and struggling to finish the week because it's a long week, now these guys bring in a fresh new team in playoff times and win a trophy, and now they think they're, you know, the best organization around. No, you just did a great job of recruiting and getting fresh players in that tournament to win that tournament. Now you're going to just brag about it. But, hey, you know, the tournament's what they should do is, hey, from day one, submit your roster. As soon as you play your game, you got to finish with the guys that started with you. And now we see who's the best team out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, if that'll never happen. If you submit your roster, like we go down to whatever event we go to with the same guys that started with us, right? And I know other organizations around there, and I could list several of them, and Colangelo's group up in Virginia, and Bankhead's group up in the Greensboro area of North Carolina, and Tyler Corson down in Alabama. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on about guys that definitely do it, the right way. If there's going to be an event, and you are trying to do – it has to be weeded out, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you're going to go ahead and recruit and build a team, tell everybody, build your team and submit your roster to come in here and do that.
Yep.
And then just make it for that event, and then peel off and go do what you have to do. But, you're right. I mean, we see it all the time, and some people think it's folklore until they actually see it happen, where a player is going to show up just for a day to throw, or just for that week, or just for that tournament. Thinking it's going to gain exposure or some of these other things, and it may, it very well may. And again, listen, I'm impressed by some of these guys business wise, because they figured it out, and they figured out how to capture as much revenue as they possibly can, and to fill their pockets. That's great. That's free enterprise. That's what this country's built on. All for it. Okay. I just have a tough time, diluting the game and changing the landscape of it and not doing the right thing and creating everything about winning and, at this level and minimizing the experience of these things, because part of the experience, is just, I did it, I went there, it happened. And the other part of it is just playing the game, just play the freaking game to play the game.
Yeah. Play the game. And if, you guys, come out on top, kudos. And if you guys, play it and you guys lose, hey, just work on it and build on it and come back next time better. But you're right. I mean, there's a lot of guys that's doing it the wrong way, and there's a lot of guys like you and the guys that you mentioned just now that's doing it the right way, and it's about the kids' development and about getting these kids better, not about getting a trophy, because at the end of the day, who cares about a trophy? No one's going to ask 10 years from now, did you play on that team in 2018 that won that tournament? No one's going to remember
that. It's the trophy, and then it's also – these guys that need this game for their identity,
mm-hmm.
To look who I am, look what I've done or whatever, and walk around like, oh, there's that crazy, it's sad. But so we'll get off that.
I want to touch on something real quick. When you guys grew up, you did not have any show and goes, right? Did you, Ray? I know you're a little younger than Chafin. You went through a different period as far as baseball goes.
No, there was no show and go. I mean, you play with your team throughout the summer, and, if you guys won – I was just fortunate enough to, travel a little bit more, to different, I worked with Dory Baseball every summer since I was 13 years old, and I got to, be around the game, around a lot of great guys like Jamie Evans and, a lot of guys that, were mentors to me throughout the summer instead of, and they were training and, just teaching me the game and with Brian Doyle and Blake and Denny, those guys were all around, and it was just I had a different experience growing up than a lot of other kids. And, I was fortunate enough to have that experience. But, when I did play summer ball, it was never about, going to different tournaments to showcase. It was just a matter of, hey, going out there to win a tournament, to keep advancing, to keep playing that summer. Because if you lost in your, let's say, your city region or your area region, that was it. Your summer was over. And now you just, do whatever you had to do for the rest of the summer.
Yeah, I like what Shave said a little earlier. You have some of these kids saying, look what I've done, look what team I'm showcasing with this weekend. I think you're starting to see with the showcase level, some kids are starting to be individualized. They're not seeing that team bonding, I think, like it used to be. Because even when I played, I was like, yeah, this is my team. I know these guys personally. We talk every other day. I think you're starting to see some of these kids, like, every other weekend they're playing with different teams. And
I watched it last weekend. I watched what they call, apparently one of the larger organizations in the state of North Carolina, right? And I showed up, and those two teams were playing against each other. And then I watched the guy coach at third, and he had no idea who the players were. I mean, this literally had no clue who they were, just stood out there, didn't give a sign, didn't do anything, walked on and off the field, and his sign to run was he'd take his arms and he'd pump them along. So that, I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? So this is how they're teaching this game.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, the illusion that, you know, that uniform does something for you, it did nothing. I mean, for any of those kids or any of those teams this weekend. And, you know, it's unfortunate. But listen, on the flip side, on the business side, when you're talking about, you know, making money, they're doing it. They got it. They got it figured out. Good for them. On the side that, you know, when you're trying to be a steward of the game and protect the game and do the right thing for the game, then, you know, it's garbage. It's ridiculous. And the people buy into it. They actually think that it's really – I think there's a wave of people starting to understand that this is a little bit more BS than it is good for me.
Yeah, and I'll go into the point of probably the player and parent aspect of, you know, what is it called? Run and gun or show up and blow up? Show and go. You know, when
show
you
show up and blow up,
I'll make a T-shirt. It's tough on, you know, the player's point of view or the player's perspective, because you're showing up on a team that you don't know anybody. Now you're expected to perform. And if you don't perform and this guy just brought you in, you know, let's say he lives in Florida and he flies you in or he brings you in to play in a tournament and you go, you know, you don't perform to the expectations, you're not going to get invited back. So, right. You know, a lot of the parents want that, you know, they want to be on the top organizations. They want to be on the top team. They want to be in all these major events, but they don't realize you still have to perform. And if your kid doesn't perform and you don't get invited back, now they're bashing the coach or the organization. Listen, we all know what it is. You know, you go in there to perform, and you have to perform. So it's a matter of it's tough on both sides. It's tough on the coach that don't know the player, and it's just like, God, I hope this kid, you know, does what I expect him to do. And now the player, you know, you're asking a 15, 16, 17-year-old kid to, you know.
You jump into that organization thinking it's going to do something for you.
No.
Okay, and then what happens is you wear that uniform. You don't know the coach. Coach doesn't know you. And you show up somewhere and play all weekend and don't see a college recruiter anywhere. What did that just do for you?
Nothing.
Zero.
I think those businesses are good at showing perceived value in quote.
I think those businesses are good for the highest level of the game the amateur game. Going down like, you know, again, putting the right teams together to go down and compete in a Worldwood battle Jupiter, where you know that these kids are going to get the right exposure and the right level of people are there watching them.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are the easy ones. Mm-hmm. That's easy to do, is to get the top talent and go out and play.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, yeah, I want to go to Jupiter. Okay, you know, and I throw 95, but my team, you know, I stayed and I played with my boys the whole time, and, you know, but I do want some extra exposure. Jump on that team and go. Do it.
Right.
Okay. But what happens is those guys are easy to get recruited. Okay. It's just
They're already recruited.
Yeah. Almost all of them are already recruited. And then on top of it, the other thing is, you know, the schools that are recruiting them, the school recruited. Not so much the recruiter. It's easy, okay? I want to go to Clemson. I want to go to Carolina. Yeah. I want to go, you know, I'm just using the schools down here. I'm not, you know, shorting anybody, and I'm not shorting the organizations that I said, you know, when I said this guy does it right, because there's a lot of them that do it right. So I'm not just, you know, but we only have 45 minutes or something like that. So we can't go down the list. But, you know, it's the kids that, you know, these are the ones that I like, okay? I like the projectable kids. I like the kids that are hungry for development, that you can project on them because they're athletic. They see where they're going to go, and you can help them get to a certain level, right? And again, if getting drafted is your dream, at 15, 16, 17, and even 18 years old when I went to the University of Maryland, wasn't even in my DNA at that time. I was a tiny, long-haired punk from Long Island that was just playing baseball because I loved to play baseball, okay? But somebody saw something different in me and saw something projectable and said, okay. And here's the truth of my recruiting story, right? I was never recruited a day in my life. Played on the Connie Mack World Series team, had Neil Heaton there. Never recruited a day, not a school on Long Island, not anywhere. Nobody even knew who I was. My father, my stepdad, but really my father, the one that raised me, called the University of Maryland, where he was the captain of the of the Terps when he was in the early 60s, right, the catcher, and said to the same head coach that he had, he can run, he can throw, he can field. You're going to knock the bat out of his hands the first year. Do you want him? I said, send him down. Okay, so I get a preferred walk-on spot. I show up. I go through that process, and I never come off the field for 3 years, right? So my point being is I like those kids. I like the kids that we can project on and we can develop and we can get them in school, and opportunity creates itself. Obviously, I was fortunate enough to get 14 years in pro ball and 5 at the big league level. That's, you know, that's unheard of. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, realistically, that, you know, I don't even know how it happened, you know, because it wasn't my lifelong goal. I mean, I didn't think of anything like that. I just thought big leaguers were born. And, you know, until I got to the University of Maryland and I understood, you know, really what work was. And if you want to go want something, go get it. So, you know, taking those kids that I love going out with our group and competing against these national teams and knocking them off. There's nothing more fun than that. You know, all these guys are walking in, they got the pretty bags, and they got, that guy's helmets don't even match. Our uniforms match to a degree. Somebody might have a piping down one side of the pant, whatever, but, you know, that's not where the money has to be spent, you know, in the uniforms and all that other stuff. But I love it, man. We go in, I got a text from John Ennis this year, you know, I'm watching the schedule, and he's down in PG, and they're playing one of the top national teams, you know, the 16U national team. And I get a phone call, and we shut them out 5-0. Okay, that's development. That's taking mid-major D2 guys that have the potential down the road and teaching them how to play the game and go out and getting after it. So,
well, I think the game is just, you know, changed where everybody wants that, you know, fully developed guy right now. No one's trying to help the player develop. You know, they want the guy that's 16. I mean, I put on, if you go to YouTube, you could see the 14-year-old, you know, perfect game select fest. I mean, the first kid on the mound was
14 years old,
throwing 91, 92, but, you know, he didn't throw a strike. I mean, they think that's the best pitcher around. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd rather take a kid. I'm not even going to go 14 because they're so young. It's, like, right, unheard of to think about, even talk about a 14-year-old throwing 91. Take a kid that's, you know, 17, 18 that could pitch, you know what I mean, that's 85 to 88 that gets outs. That's just a bulldog that, you know what I mean, with the right development, you know what I mean, in 4 years.
14 years old, 85 to 88.
No, the kid was 14 years old throwing 91, 92.
No, I know. You go through the rest of that thing. So, you know,
they don't want to develop though. They don't want to see the future. They don't want to see the projectability in these kids anymore. They don't want to say, hey, what can I do with this kid in 3 years? Can I take this kid? And that's why I tip my hat to a lot of these high school coaches around here locally, because they take kids from their freshman year and by the senior year they make them good ball players. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, a lot of the teams don't want to take that chance, or they just probably leave it on the high school coach to develop guys. But as you said, you know, your projectability, you know, they took a shot on you, you got to prefer a walk-on, you know what I mean? And you wound up, you know what I mean, in the big leagues.
Yeah, there's two sides to that, and this is another conversation we can start, is, you know, the high school coaches in development, right? You have a mixed bag of nuts when it comes to talent at the high school level.
Yep.
Okay, so you get what you get. You get who's going there, right? So you may have 25 men on a roster, and from 8 down – or 7 down, 7 up to 25, never going to play a day of college baseball.
I think the number is even
– could be less than that.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Could be less than that. Yeah. So it is a tough job for those guys to take, you know, the bottom end and try to develop them into players that can compete. I don't think they're going to develop them into players that are going to go to the next level.
No.
Okay, so that's where travel baseball or showcase baseball comes into play. The problem with travel baseball and showcase baseball is we run into teams that have the same makeup of some of these high school teams.
Yep.
Okay, so they have 3 or 4 guys that are going to play at the next level, and you're going to compete against them. And once you get through the first 3 guys in the lineup, you're just pounding people. Like, I mean, how many times I'm on the field and you're competing, and you're like, I'm not worried that we're down a run or two right now. It could be the 4th inning to 5th inning. You know, we're going to open up and we're going to beat these guys. You know, so you just go through the points of, you know, you're developing and developing, and then just, you know, let them play the game. And the game always shakes out more times than not where the talent says it's going to shake out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a difficult thing. And, you know, I mean, listen, I have all the respect in the world for high school coaches. I don't see eye to eye with every single one. They don't see eye to eye with me. And you know what? That's what baseball people do. You know, you sit there and, you know, you don't have to be perfect and you don't have to believe in the same thing all along. But, you know, there has to be a mutual respect because we're all doing the same thing. We're trying to develop players and we're trying to get them to the next level. Okay, so I say that, and then on the other side, there are high school programs where it's more about the high school coach,
mm-hmm.
and it's more about winning and all that other stuff than it is developing. The same thing in the showcase side. So, you know, we live in the same worlds.
It's just, I think everyone is just chasing their own tail, and everyone's doing, you know.
And there's no, you know, we have, it's almost like, and I'll use this crazy analogy right now. It's like the Democrats and Republicans. We keep getting further and further and further apart, right? And there's nobody sitting there trying, when you try to pull it together, you know, people won't come together. They won't do the right thing. We should just be playing events here in Charlotte.
I agree.
More or less Charlotte-based teams or within a radius up to Hickory or whatever, just here.
I agree.
There's no sense. Or pull in a Virginia team and then go up there and play against a Virginia team. But, you know, there's so much talent here. But what happens is we get knuckleheads in charge of running organizations or recruiting in organizations, okay? And everybody – nobody wants to compete because we're in competition business-wise. You know, how many lessons you're doing, how many teams you have, who's on your team, who you get. You know, I mean, it's crazy. Instead of sitting there going, okay, it is what it is. People are going to jump teams. People are going to go places that they want to be at to play, right? But if everybody in had a collective understanding of this is about the kids, you know, and if everybody does the right thing about the kids, business will be healthy. We can go ahead and support each other by just playing against each other.
And it'd be a lot more competitive, better baseball.
It would help college recruiting. It would help the major league scouts.
Yeah, and I mean, if you want, yeah, especially you just nailed it on the head. I mean, especially if you want to go to school around here, you know, you're playing locally. You know, the top organizations. You know what I mean? Doubleheader Saturday, doubleheader Sunday, four games in one park. I mean, you get everyone at that facility.
Locally, so it helps with the schools in the Carolinas, right? But if you start putting that talent in one place all summer long and not having to run thinking you have to run down to PG or you got to go somewhere else, you start putting that talent in Charlotte every single weekend, then schools from out of state are coming here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then you change the dynamic. But, you know, you can't get people to sit down and agree because, you know what, over the course of been doing this for 13 years, you know, I mean, there's a competitive nature, there's bad blood, there's insecurity for a lot of these guys to think if our kids get around these other organizations, guess what, we're going to lose them. And then it changes the dynamic of that. There's enough talent in Charlotte to fill five really good teams.
Absolutely.
At every age group.
I totally agree.
So what's next, Chafe? What we got? I mean,
I don't know, man. So listen, let's talk about it. Let's go down the UDACF route,
okay?
The You Deserve a Chance Foundation route right now, because not only are we talking about talented players in the city, there's talented players all over the place. They don't have the resources to play in these organizations.
Right.
Nothing is cheap. Families can't get in the car and go like we did this weekend, run up and drive 180 miles round trip, and then turn around the next day and drive another 180 miles round trip,
mm-hmm.
eat during that time, take care of the family, do whatever. So we miss out, and we don't create enough opportunity for the, you know, we call the underserved, which is the perfect definition because that's what they are. They're underserved. So they're less fortunate, underserved. You know, there's many, many terms that we can use. So You Deserve a Chance Foundation is our nonprofit organization. We are in our fifth year as an organization, and it's been amazing to watch the growth of it because we just started out by becoming a nonprofit, asking for donations so we can help kids that couldn't afford to be involved. And it's not – here's the other thing, and I say this to everybody that listens to the show – and I know that there's guys out there that you know, are not fans of mine, which, fine, I'm not fans of everybody either. But, you know, hopefully they're getting good information, is that You Deserve a Chance Foundation has helped kids in other organizations, okay? We've done things from equipment. We've done things for overnight stay. We've done things for, you know, Chris Singleton, for a perfect example, that was, you know, that was invited to the Cubs pre-draft tryout. You know, we bought a plane ticket, we gave him food, we got a hotel, we did all that. You know, we do those things. It is not about CBC. It is not about anything that we really do in here. Okay, kids do benefit because they, you know, they request, but, you know, we look to reach out to the baseball community and help. So when we say that we help out, we have our home plate gala, which we do. It's our fourth annual year. And it is a special night. It's baseball people getting together from big leaguers all the way down to parents on a team that that just love the game and want to be around and want to help support. So we do this event. This year it's November 9th. It is at the Ballantyne Hotel, and we got 300 seats. We're looking for sponsors. You know, it's a big part of it, you know, that you know, we're sponsoring tables. We have Mike Schilt, who's the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. You can sit at his table. You can buy the whole table. You can sit at that table. We have former major league guys. You can sit at that table. You can pay for those tables. We got high school coaches, college coaches. You know, go up and down the board. My former college teammate, former major league pitcher, pitched a month in the big leagues with the Brewers, and now the executive movie producer, produced The Rookie, Miracle, Invincible, Secretariat, Chappaquiddick. You know, he's going to be our keynote speaker. So it's a very cool night. It's a baseball night. It's baseball people in the community giving back. My point in that long-winded description of everything is that I don't care where you play or what organization you are or who you have, put your sword down that night and come out there and be a part of something that's going on in Charlotte that's pretty darn cool. And, you know, be a part of assisting in being a good steward of the game.
I mean, and there's some big plans as well for BDACF. We secured land, right? And we had a good meeting with MLB. Was it last Friday?
It's a three-headed monster, and it's not a monster. It's a three-headed beauty queen, is what it is. So we have You Deserve a Chance Foundation.
Yes.
We have the Carolina Metro Reds, which is my very good friend, and I love the guy to death, Morris Madden, former big league guy. And we formed a third entity called Knot Hole. And Knot Hole purchased the old Westmac Optimist Club across the street from Westmac High School. We also purchased a house that abuts the property so we could build three fields. One is going to be basically a major league size field. The dimensions are huge, and it'll be a stadium type field. And that field will be leased to Queens University, where former major league pitcher Cy Young Award winner Jack McDowell, his team will play their home games. And then when he's done, obviously we have it in the summer to do our special events. And some of them will be for sustainability, which means we will host tournaments and do things like that. And then other things will be events put on to benefit the underserved. So there'll be no cost to it, you know, and we'll bring college recruiters out. We'll do those things. We'll build a high school size field next to that. And then we'll build a youth size field, a smaller field. Tony Regan from Major League Baseball flew down, and there's a big fund that MLB controls, and they wanted to touch and feel and see that we were real and meet our group. And you know, it was a great day. You know, we have a big submit in to them, and this is a part of the process. And you know, when that comes down the pipe, then you know, then all things change. We get to do some pretty special things for every angle of the game.
Yeah, and that would be awesome. I can't wait to see that process unfold. I know I got we already started some teardown.
Jack McDowell started the teardown.
him and he
Jack is out there with a shovel pulling fences, and he's ready to go now.
and you can already see some of the difference out in those fields. I mean, they tore down basically all the fencing and all the piping that's on top of the fence on that field.
Yeah, the whole infrastructure. That entire complex is going to be leveled.
Yeah.
And then obviously you have to, readjust, restructure, you know, you gotta lay it out where, you know, all these fields fit.
Yeah.
But again, UDACF isn't just about, UDACF is the conduit, okay? It's using the game, it's using baseball to reach out to these kids. So, you know, we're looking at educational skills. We're looking at, you know, having classes, helping kids read.
Wow.
We've met with Atrium Healthcare, which used to be Charlotte Health, and you know,
and that'll be big for the kids. And just
well,
they're
gonna bring out. They're gonna do physicals. Mm-hmm. You know, we're gonna do testing, and it's not only just for the kids; it's for their families.
Sure.
So that's part of their, you know, their donation or their contribution to You Deserve a Chance Foundation. So, you know, when I pump this stuff out, man, you know, we got 300 seats.
Yep.
And it is a cool event, and you know, the night goes on beyond the event because when they shut the doors at 11, everybody rolls downstairs, and then it gets going.
I like how you say roll.
You kind of roll. Well, this time we're gonna roll down the hall down that way. Last year we had to roll downstairs.
tumble.
But where is it gonna be at this year?
It's at Ballantyne Hotel in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Big ballroom.
We originally started at BB&T. In the stadium, you know, BB&T Ballpark downtown where the Knights play. And it was a great venue, man. It was very cool to be sitting there and then look out the glass, see the skyline looking over the field. You know, it was really a good atmosphere. And we started with 110 people at our first gala. And we gave the Spirit of the Game Award, which we give out every year. We gave it to Tom Walter, who donated his kidney to an incoming player. It's a great story. All these stories are on 30 for 30 or E60. So, you know, tap in, go check him out. So Tom was the first recipient. The next year we gave it to Chris Singleton, whose mom was the pastor in the Charleston Church Massacre, who rallied an entire city when it could have turned into a racial war. And this kid just, you know, he's just an amazing human being. Both those guys, Tom.
He has a Singleton complex now too, doesn't he?
He does down there.
That's awesome.
Down there in the Charleston area. But, you know, all these guys, Tom, Chris, Michael, that were given the award, Michael Schill were given the award to. But then the third year was Landon Powell and his wife, Allison. We gave them the award. Very cool. Like I said, this year is Michael Schill, and his story is just phenomenal. I mean, I honestly said this, and I said this in the video. It's for me, it's like watching my own son go through this process. I met Michael in Charlotte in 1982 when I came up here as a rookie player for the Charlotte O's, a rookie double-A player. He was a clubhouse kid. And we bonded, and we've been close ever since. And, you know, Michael never played a day of pro ball. And he loved the game. He just wanted to play the game. And maybe he wasn't the best player, but you know what? That kid has proven to have one of the best baseball minds ever in the game. It's pretty amazing to watch this journey. So, you know, he started the on-deck organization here in Charlotte and sold it to the Hill family, and then moved on to become an area scout, and then, you know, talked himself into getting in uniform and getting on field and at the rookie ball level. And the next thing you know, he's running the entire spring training and he's managing up and down the organization. And here he is. You know, they create a spot for him 2 years ago in the dugout just to be like an advisor type guy, not really, you know, part of the whole day-to-day operation of, you know, making decisions on the field of the coaching staff. They fired the third base coach last year. They put him in third. Then this year, in the offseason, they give him the bench coaching jobs with Mike Matheny. At the All-Star break, they fire Mike Matheny, and they give Mike Schilt the number one seat in the Cardinals. So it's just crazy. But I've been friends with Michael for 34 years and his mom, Lib, who I absolutely adore, who's just, you know, I got there's two baseball women, a sidebar. There's two baseball women in this city that have just done great things for Charlotte baseball, and people have no idea. And one is Frances Crockett Ringling, and who's the GM and the owner of the family owned the O's when I got here. And her main assistant was Lib Schilt. And then also, you know, all of Frances's daughters obviously have been involved in development. But you know, that to watch that journey of this kid, you know, it's emotional.
Of course.
I mean, it's freaking crazy. And now to be able to present him with this award that's very important to our organization, it's even crazier. And we offered him, we asked him to be the recipient. We choose, you know, and obviously we say, can you be here? Because we want to give you this special award. Before he was the bench coach, you know, before he was the third base coach, before he was the bench coach, and before he was the manager. So, you know, this Michael's done great things in this city for baseball. So he deserves it.
You got to come out that night just to see him and hear him speak about his journey. That's going to be.
You want to hear somebody speak? I mean, like, I talk a lot of BS. this kid is just, you know, I mean, his words are, you know, it's almost like there's, I don't know, something like a spirit jumped in his body, man, and started, you know, speaking to the people. He's just incredible.
It's awesome.
And the best thing is he's the manager for the Cardinals, you know, St. Louis Cardinals, not the Cubs, you know, not any other team.
Okay, you say I've gotten to the point in my life where I've been a Yankee fan my whole life, right? I've never really had a national team to root for. Okay, so when Joe Maddon got the job with the Cubs, because I played for Joe and I love Joe too, but you know, I was rooting for the Cubs. But you know, Michael is like blood, so I am now a National League St. Louis Cardinals fan. So you can wear that now. I got a question the other day. I said that in front of the dugout, in front of my son Zach, who just knows what diehard Yankee fans like. You know, if you're not even allowed in my house if you're not a Yankee. My sister married a Met fan, and he has to eat out on the porch. So, I said that in front of Zach the other day, you know, and Zach goes, "What are you talking about, Dad?" You know, like he got upset. Like, "What are you talking about? You're not a Cardinals fan. I'm like, "In the National League?" He's, no, Dad. He goes, "What if Michael Schilt was managing the Red Sox?"
Oh.
I'm like, whoa, good question. Yeah. Good question, right?
It's when the friendship ends.
I don't know. But you know what? You get to the point now that you've been in the game so long and been around so many people that – you start to root for the people more than the team.
Of course.
You know what I mean? When Cockle, I was thrilled when Alan Cockle was with the Yankees. But, you know, all along I've been an Alan Cockle fan. We've been friends forever, and he's been hitting coaches everywhere. Alan Cockle's been a guy that I rooted for. Guys that I played with. Joe Maddon. I rooted for Joe Maddon. You know, I just, you know, you keep rooting for different guys. Either they're coaching somewhere or they're, you know, they're managing or doing something. So it's interesting. It's going to be a great night. It's going to be a great night, a lot of fun. So here's my pitch and here's my ask, okay? Go to www.udacf.org, okay? Find the gala on the website. There's sponsorship levels. You want to buy, you want to sit with Mike Schilt, you can buy the table and bring 8 other people with you and sit with Mike Schilt, okay? You want to sit with Jack McDowell, you can sit with Jack McDowell. Other big league guys in there. The keynote speaker table has been already purchased by all my Terp buddies that are coming in. So I apologize ahead of time for all those idiots. Okay,
but we'll put a bubble around.
Oh my
table.
God, they might have to be out on the porch with my son-in-law. But yeah, there's opportunities. There's tickets on sale. There's so much going on. The silent auction is cool. Mike Schilt's already committed a signed jersey. I talked to him the other day. He's committed a signed jersey. We'll have other signed jerseys. We'll have all kinds of cool things to bid on. Every single penny goes to UDACF. Okay, we don't pay anybody. We don't do anything. We just take the monies and we turn around and we try to do the right thing to make sure that we're being, like I said before, you know, good stewards of the game.
Cool, cool. Was that it? I mean, that was another
is that
long
like
one.
Cuckoo or goo goo?
Goo goo.
Goo goo. Yeah, goo goo.
That's a good idea.
Yep. So, okay. So, Ray, you got any closing remarks right here, buddy?
No.
You're heading to New York.
Heading to New York next week. Yep. Looking forward to that, seeing family. And
We're Body Armor fans, man. Go drink Body Armor.
That's right.
Yeah, we're promoting Body Armor.
Thanks, Gatorade. We take it from here.
Yeah, we're gonna roll over Gatorade. Gatorade's only good to like dump on people. I'm not dumping Body Armor. That's a waste.
That's a premium product. You can't do that.
You can't do that. That's like dumping Pappy Van Winkle bourbon on somebody instead. You can't do that. We appreciate everybody again listening to it. I know we always start off with an agenda and then we go off on our rants. Ray Torres, I appreciate you being here.
I'm enjoying this stuff here.
Andrew 1-2 Zyke, always as usual. We miss Tommy Viola.
Yep.
And you know, we need to drag Tommy back in here. Season's over. The hardest working man in baseball in Charlotte. He's got his second baby, so he's getting some quality time at home that that isn't allowed to him during the season. But thank you, everybody. Please share the podcast. We're growing. We're spreading. Hopefully, we're bringing good information, some laughs, and peace out.
Peace. Be safe.